my home church today. We're going to be extremely blessed always because your word is spoken here. We're inspired to live a more holy life by your words that are fed to us here. Thank you for Teresa. She's just a wonderful servant that we get to learn from and just keep her safe as she's traveling and just refresh her and renew her for a fall season to keep on the good work that she's doing. Thank you for all of our guests here today. We're just so blessed to hear from them and how the Lord has worked in their lives. Be with Trish Weber's mother and Trish as they are undergoing some adjustments with elderly ailments that happen, and just continue to heal her mother's body and to strengthen her. And we just pray that we can learn more of you and live out our faith in genuineness, that others would know that you are in us, that you allow us to be instruments in your kingdom, and that's such a privilege. Thank you. Just help us not to miss our opportunities this week to glorify you. And thank you for all your many super, super great blessings. And I pray this in your son's name, Jesus. Amen. We'll let Maggie come first, and then Renee will tell us some things about Jesse. And we have some more coming in. That's good. So,
The fair is going on.
Okay, well, y'all come on in. We've had our opening prayer, but we're in for a treat. Teresa's not here, but I think you're going to be blessed.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I just wanted to come today and thank everyone for all the prayers while I was sick and for sending me all that fun stuff to give to the kids. I would walk around when we were at Target House with a big bag of some of the stuff y'all sent, the arts and crafts and stuff, and hand it out to all the kids, and so we all got to be real close there, and they would come to my room sometimes and pick some of the stuff out that y'all sent, so they really enjoyed that. And I just wanted you to know how appreciative I am for all the prayers, because I don't know if I would have gotten through everything without them, and it really made a difference, and so I really appreciate that. And I think I'm going to tell you a little story about one of my friends that I made at St. Jude. Well, first let me tell you that I'm cancer-free, and I left St. Jude sometime in May, so I've been home resting since then. And I got to go to Hawaii with my mom. I went on this trip because you've probably heard of Make-A-Wish. They do trips and different wishes for children. But I was 19 when I got cancer, so I was not a child, so Make-A-Wish wouldn't do it. But this group called Hunt of a Lifetime goes up to like age 22 or 23, and it's for kids who like to hunt and fish. And I don't really like to hunt or fish. But I got to go on a deep sea fishing trip in Hawaii, so for free. So they sent me and my mom. So that was really great. And we went fishing a couple times. Our favorite part, though, was just being in Hawaii. So it was very beautiful, and that was a great reward for the end of chemo and everything. It was a really long journey, but now that I'm through it, I can look back and reflect on the good things that happened while I was there, the things that I learned, and the people that I met that made a big difference. And one of those people was a little boy named Odie. You may have read about him in my Caring Bridge. Odie was 13 years old. He had something called hepatocellular carcinoma. It's a liver cancer in children, and there really isn't any known cure for it, any known chemo that works on it. Basically, if it's just in the liver, they sometimes do a liver transplant. That's pretty much all they can do. And Odie's was in his liver and his lungs, and so they did lots and lots of chemo, but in the end, it didn't. His cancer didn't respond. So at one point I met this former patient named Emily Lamb, and she's 27 now. She had a cancer very similar to mine in her leg when she was my age. And on a day I was having a really bad day at the hospital, some of my doctors introduced me to her because they knew she would be an inspiration. And she gave me this ring, and it says strength on it. And she said that when she had cancer, someone looked at her and they said, "When I look at you, I see strength," and gave it to her. And so she said the same thing to me and gave me the ring. And it was special to me then, but it became more special later on, because Odie and I got to be really close friends. And then around Christmas time, he left St. Jude and got sent home because nothing was working. So they sent him to be at home where he wanted to be. And I gave him the ring because he was really the strongest person I've ever met. He was a lot braver than me and stronger and such a fighter. Even though he knew he was not going to be okay, he was still so strong, and he just, there's really no way to describe how strong he was, but that, you know, it had to be God. And our connection was so special, and we just connected instantly. It was an out-of-this-world connection. It was a very surreal, spiritual thing. And when Odie went home, I gave him this ring before he left because I told him I wanted him to have it to remind him to be strong and to remind him of me. And he said that he would take it, but he wanted to share it with me. So every time he came back for a checkup after that, he would give it to me and we'd trade it. So we went back and forth a lot. And he had it last. And I got to see him a few times after he left the hospital because he would come back for checkups. But on Memorial Day, Odie passed away. And he was really ready. He had told his mom that he was ready. And he just felt so sick. So even though we know he's in a better place now, he's not hurting, it was still very, very hard. His mom's going through a terrible, terribly hard time. So I would ask that you pray for her and the rest of his family. But when I went to the funeral at the beginning of June, his mom gave me the ring, and she said that he wore it around his neck all the time, and he would say things like, "Maybe this will give me strength to do whatever," because he was so weak. And she said that he wanted me to have it after he died. So I wear it always because it reminds me of Odie and our bond, and it reminds me of what I want to do when I grow up, which is be a pediatric oncologist and help kids like Odie. So I just wanted to share that with you because that's a big, special part of my experience. And then I guess if any of you have any questions about St. Jude or anything, you can ask before I sit down.
Tell us a little bit about being a spokesperson. That's not something you face for the fact of being a spokesperson. What is that?
Well, it is exciting. There's this thing called ALSAC, and it raises all the money for St. Jude. And they get different patients to do commercials and different public stuff for St. Jude to advertise and raise money. And I've done several things with them before, but starting in February, I started speaking to different groups. And one of the main groups I speak to is Delta 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 Sorority. And Tri Delta raises tons of money for St. Jude every year. Their last project, I think, was their goal was to raise $5 million in 3 years, and they went way over. They always go way over their goals. And in the next 5 years, their goal is to raise $15 million, and we know they'll go over. They always do. So every year they raise millions for St. Jude. That's their philanthropy, so they do tons of work. And these girls come to St. Jude at different times during the year. They send like their philanthropy chairs just to give them like an inside tour to thank them. And so in February there was a Tri Delta conference in Dallas, and St. Jude sent me there to speak to them and to tell them my story and thank them. And I think they picked me because I'm their age and I'm in college too, and so it makes it real relatable. Because a lot of people think of St. Jude and they think of little kids, but it's not just little kids, it's big kids too. And so they sent me there, and I really enjoyed it. And so this past weekend, Friday and yesterday, I was in Memphis, and I got to speak to them again. Some of them had been there in Dallas, and some of them hadn't. So I got to share my story and really just thank them and let them see that the work that they do really makes a difference because it saves people's lives. So I got to do that, and hopefully I'll get to keep doing it. So
that's great.
I really enjoy doing it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So much. We will keep in touch and keep praying for a successful
I just want to thank you for being here this morning to hear Jesse Varghese's testimony. Jesse has been here in Brookhaven for a long time. How many years, Jesse?
Since 95.
Since 95, and a member of this church. And I regret that it has taken me so long to take the time to get to know her a little bit better. But recently, I have done a little bit of that. It's been a really busy summer for her and for me, but I have come to know her as a precious friend. She has a beautiful, beautiful heart for God, and she has a beautiful testimony about how God has cared for her and loved her and provided for her. And so I just want you to get to know Jesse better, because I know that you will love her too. She's been having problems with a knee, so she's going to stand for a little while, but she may have to sit later, but she's going to do what she needs to do.
Lord, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity you have given to us, and thank you for Maggie's testimony, and that proved to us that you are the great physician still alive on this earth, and Lord, we thank you so much for what you have done for her. And I'm committing everything into your hands today. Lord, I don't have a big testimony, but whatever you have done in my life, I'm going to share with these ladies, your dear children, your dear daughters. And Lord, help me to glorify you in everything. Let all the honor and glory be thine. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you can ask me what you want to know. Because when you start talking testimony, I have got for days and days and days of stuff. So, but before I start, I want to thank you for the prayer meeting you all did for me in Joyce's house. And this is a surprising thing. Just about a month ago, I called my husband and I told him. And I was almost in tears. I said, you know what? After my mommy and daddy died, there is nobody who shed tears for me and pray for me. You know? He said, you're right. I said, yeah, not even you. But he was silent for a while. Then I knew that I really hurt him there. And I apologized to him. But when I went for prayer there, we sat for prayer. After the prayer meeting, I was really apologetic. And I went home and I knelt down. And I thank the ladies who were there, and everybody shed tears and prayed for me. And they had no idea I was missing that, you know. And that was,
we did a pamper and pray party for Jesse at Joyce Bedsell's house a few weeks ago.
And that is one of the answers, not the answer, but that was something I was longing for, you know, in my mind. And God just gave it to me. He said, you are being really bad, you know. It's like you are being bad. You are not listening to me, you know. That is what my mind said. You know, I am always there for you. Then why should you doubt? You know, there are people who are praying for you. Maybe you don't know about it, but, you know. And then another thing that happened, I have been praying for some funds to help somebody back home to go to college. And I was not able to, you know, get all of it. But I don't drink Coke. Once in a blue moon, I save every penny that I can save for giving up, you know, to the needy there. And I have some money, but I didn't have enough. But to my amazement, it never happened in my life. They did a love offering. And I did not know they gave me a bag when I was going home, a small gift packet. And I went home and I opened it up. And I had just enough money with that money and the money I had. Combining together, I was able to help her. And I was so surprised. There was nothing more. You know, that is a thing, how God was doing things in my life. And that is two amazing things that happened just last month. And about my testimony. I was born into a house where there was prayer 3 times a day, morning, noon, and evening. You may not believe it, but morning we will sing. My grandfather, he's a Bible scholar. He knows Bible by heart. Every time I look at him, he will be on his knees. I have kept alarm to see when he's awake or anything, but every time I look, he's on his knees. I did not know when he'd go to sleep. I had no idea. And I used to ask mommy, and mommy will get mad because the alarm wake her up. But you know, I try to see, and then while reading the Bible, I used to make mess of it so that I will make sure that he really knows the Bible. And every time he will say, go back to 2 sentences, or go back to, you know, you are making a mistake, you're half reading half sentence, then you are reading something else. He's so sure about it. And morning we will have Bible study, we will have singing and prayer. Noon we will just have the Bible reading and prayer. And everybody who is working in the field, they are supposed to attend, come for that. They will come, have the food, then they will have the prayer, then they will rest a while, then go back to the field. That's what they used to do. My grandfather will go with them, do everything with them. Evening we will have prayer, singing, and if we have any question, that is the time to ask them. So I grew up in a house like that. And I think that was a great privilege. And because of that, I was able to accept Lord Jesus as my personal Savior when I was 8 years old. But it took me another 8 years before I got obeyed him in water baptism. And you may be asking why. The reason is, when my mommy was teaching me about baptism, grandfather is teaching me about baptism, but when I learned about the baptism, when I looked around, I see people who got baptized living a bad life. And I told mommy, I don't want to be like them. Once I get baptized, that may happen to me also, you know. But she made it clear, if Jesus comes tonight, what will you do? You disobeyed him in one thing, you know. But then he convinced me one day, I could not wait any longer. I went to the pastor and I told the pastor, I want to get baptized. And that time I was not in my hometown. We were in the middle part of India where my daddy was. And so I got baptized when I was 18 years old, no, 16 years old. And soon after I got saved at 8 years, my grandfather tells me, now you are born again, you are a full-time minister. And I did not know what it means, but he said, whatever you do, you should make other people to think that you are a different person. You know, you are not like everybody else. You are different because Jesus is in you. Because we are living in a place where there's Hindus, Muslims, and other religion, Catholics, Jacobites, you know, we have got a lot of religions. So I grew up in that way. My daddy said, there are 2 things you should not be ashamed of. One, do not lie. One is do not be, you know, when you are hungry, do not say I'm not hungry, and don't be ashamed to eat. These 2 things. One is, if you start saying lies, you will never get out of it. You will be adding lies to it. So once you tell the truth and get it over with, you know, that, and until today, I don't know, maybe I'm telling lies, I do not know, but knowingly, I try not to, you know. And then about food, you know, whenever I'm not ashamed to say I'm hungry. He said, I will starve to death if I'm ashamed to eat, you know, because the reason why he said is, when we go somewhere, when they give us something, I don't eat. I don't want to eat. That is the reason why he said that. I know that. And my daddy was a Second World War veteran. He was in the Air Force for 36 years. And wherever he went, you know, we get transferred to different places. Wherever we went, he will start a prayer group. And then he has another friend. First he will go to one new place, and then this friend will follow him there. And that has been happening all 36 years, till the, you know, last time when he left Air Force. And so these 2 friends, they together, they will start a church there. Then they will go to another place, prayer meeting, then the church, and they will go. I used to say, you are a Paul, you know. Anyway, I was able to grow in that kind of atmosphere. And my faith life started when I was born again. You know, for everything I used to depend on the Lord. For some reason, now I'm looking back to see the 8-year-old children, and I said, did I understand anything at that time? You know, did I let me stop. If any of you don't understand me, just if I'm going too fast, say stop, slow down. So I started tithing when I was 8 years old, and God helped me to do it until today. Whatever I get, Daddy, see, it was, since he was in the Air Force, our lifestyle was different, completely different from the other families. So Daddy used to give me a pocket money, you know, every month when they send money, and I used to get a pocket money. And so I started tithing when I was 8 years old. And one thing I knew, every time we give it to the Lord, he will not, what to say, make your percentage. You know, he is always, it's always there. Something is always there. It will never go empty. My daddy always says, well, let me go check your purse. Maybe that you can something. Just for a joke, you know. And God was so good to me. Good to me means I cannot explain how good he was to me. And the first verse, I want to read that first verse my daddy taught me. That was 66 Psalms, verse 20. But in my mother tongue, we have 21 verses in the Bible. And that says, blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. And that happened to be one of my favorite words, along with the verses in 139, you know, where they say, whither shall I go, you will be there. You know, there is a verse saying that. Let me see if I can find it fast. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And that is, these two are one of my favorite verses. I have got so many verses favorite, but that is, you know, it makes me feel that he is with me at all times. And there are times, you know, when I am kind of, when you say, we get moody, when, you know, we all do that. When we are just, you know, I won't say depressed, when we are struggling with something. And he is always there. He say, I am here, you know, I'm here. He don't have to tell audibly, you know, he don't have to say anything, he just feels. And in my faith life, when I finished my school, I went to the college, and then I went for MLT. And when I went for MLT, I don't know, but I really wanted to do MLT for some reason. I wanted to go for medicine at that time, but my daddy was getting transferred all over the place, so I could not go where I want to go, because we wanted to stay with daddy as much as we could. And until after he started going to the north side, or going to the extreme north where the war is or something, then family is not allowed to go. And so I think about when I started going to college, we were separated. Kind of daddy is in the war zone and we are back home with grandfather. And but when I finished my high school, I had the greatest privilege, I went to stay with my daddy. So daddy and me come for holidays. Mommy, when they get holidays, mommy will come stay some days. And that was the life after that for a long time. And so I understand when the people go for war and go for, you know, that people here in the military and they leave their family and go. I can understand that, you know. And also now after I got married, I thought, well, now we are going to settle in one place. But it never happened. We kept moving. All the time, you know, one way or other way, we kept moving. And so when we came to Brookhaven, I said, at least we are going to stay in one place. No, we moved four. This is the third time. You know, the place where I'm staying is the third time. But what I'm saying is, wherever you went, wherever I went, God was there. You know, God was there. We had a place to go to church. And whether we go to, there are places when we went, there is no churches. We could not go to churches. So what daddy does is, he will have some friends, he will come, you know, to our house, or in the mess, in the, you know, Air Force mess, they will have a place where he can stay. And I was, and pray, and we, you know, so that made many of the single Air Force people to come and attend the meeting. And many people, I remember, became, you know, Christians, and they became preachers. Now there are a couple of huge, big, famous preachers in Kerala who went to church with us. And that was my spiritual kind of background. When I got married, before that, I wanted to go to Bible school. In between, something happened. My desire to go to the medical school, my desire to go to the lab, and in between, something happened. I wanted to go to the Bible college. So my grandfather never said a word, no. My daddy never said a word. My mommy never said a word, no. And they were willing to do whatever I was ready to do. But our families, you know, back home, families, distant, you know, what is called extended families, they are the one who say stuff. Uncles, aunties, you know, they are the one who have to say something. So I was not allowed to go for nursing. That is kind of, what they say is, that is a job for unwanted people. You know, they didn't have a good name for nurses for some reason. And so I was not allowed to go for the missions, and also I was not allowed to go for the nurses. But I wanted, I liked treating people. Anyway, then I thought, MLT is the only thing I can finish in 2 years or 3 years, and that is the easiest thing to get into the hospital.
And so what does MLT stand for?
Medical lab technology.
Okay.
Yeah.
The lab technology.
Yeah. Okay. And, but I prayed. This was my prayer. Lord, I really want to go to full-time ministry, but I don't want to marry a full-time minister. Because I grew up in a family, you have a lot of preachers, lot of pastors, lot of priests. One side of the family was still a nominal Christians, but they were lot of priests. And see, you don't get a salary for the preachers. They live by faith. And I have seen my uncles, aunties, they were struggling, you know, for ends meet. But they live by faith. God never stabbed them to death, but at the last moment, God will provide them. But I didn't want to go through that. You know, I could not imagine going through that. And so I prayed, I want to marry a full-time minister, but I want him to be working when I'm marrying him. Isn't that funny? and that was my deal with him. I said, I won't care if he goes to full-time ministry after we got married, after a while. And well, Sam came to my life, and I heard him preach the first time. And he said, he was a teacher at that time, he said, in future, it is my desire to go to full-time ministry. Well, just like, you know, the Eliezer told that, you know, the lady said, I will give the water to your donkeys also, you know. It was an answer to my prayer, you know. And then my friend who never came to church, she came with me that day, and she's a Hindu. But soon after she saw Sam, she said, I think that is the right person. You know, and anyway, actually, it was an arranged marriage. So when Sam came to meet me, that is, he preached in our church. Back home, when a visitor comes, we still get the chance to preach, not the preacher. Whenever a visitor who is born again have a testimony and is a preacher, then the church gives them the time to preach. So that is how he preached. And so I told my parents, you know what? Because they were kind of westernized people. And I said, you know what, I just don't want man to marry somebody whom I don't know and I met yesterday. I want to get in touch with him, talk to him, write to him, then, you know, we will say what I want to do, you know. So daddy said, okay, go ahead and write letters, because there is no telephone those days, no emails those days, no SMS those days. And so we had to write letters. And we may get every 10 days one letter, or, you know, maybe twice a month. And after about almost a year, it just dawned to me and him, well, this is the right people. And why should we wait any longer? So I wrote to, I told him that, I think it is God's will, maybe we will tell the family about it. Well, he said the same thing. Our letter just crossed. My letter went to him, he got my letter the same day. And it just closed, you know what I'm saying? And then I tell my parents, they get the same letter the same day, and his family get the letter the same day. It was amazing. And they just decided to go ahead and do the engagement without me there. And I said, okay. And then what happened is they did the engagement, then they all came to North where I was. And then Sam came there and we got married. But he was a teacher and I was hoping, when is he going to be full-time ministry? But I don't want him to go right now. I didn't want to ask him that. You know, I didn't want to bring the subject at all, because suppose if that makes him do it, you know. I didn't want him to know that I had this in my mind. But after a while, he left the school job and he went to work with an export company called Asha Handicraft. And that is, have you ever heard about Tear Fund or something like that? And it is their ministry. Asha Handicraft was a ministry in India. They, you know, make stuff and they send it to foreign countries, make money and support the widows and children. And when he was working there, we had some, at the same time, he became a national coordinator for a ministry called New Life Ministries. And that is when he started traveling in India, all over the places. And that is when he met this Lambadi people. It's a kind of gypsy people, Mission Lambadi. So, and I knew, I think the time is getting closer and I was getting scared, you know. And, but, he, you know, when the time came, God called him. He never decided to ask me. He never decided to talk to anybody. He just went to full-time ministry. And then these people visited us from Washington, D.C. And then when they were going, they said, Sam, we are very glad you joined with us, leaving the job and everything. And I had the shock of my life. I did not know anything about it until that time. I didn't want to talk to him anymore, you know. But I, as we were going home, you know, he had the scooter, so I was sitting behind the bike, and we were going, and I could hit him so hard from the back. And this is the things going into my mind, how we are going to live. Then I thought, well, I'm a lab technician, I'm working, you know. But then he said, there was a small voice, isn't that what you wanted? Is there anything I can say? No. So I never opened my mouth about it. I never say, oh, you didn't tell me anything about it. I just went ahead with it. But the thing was, after he became the full-time ministry, he started traveling a lot. So he was gone for 3 months, 4 months. He will be going to all these mission fields. And then he came to know these Dambadi people, gypsy kind of people, where he want to spend his life with them. And then he wanted to go to, see, when he was young, he wanted to go to Bible college. But the surroundings, he's the first boy in the house. They have to take care of the parents and everything, so he had to get a job. So he could not go to the Bible college. So what he did is he let his sister go to the Bible college. Because when he got the money, he started helping her to go to the Bible college. So when he had the chance to come and study Bible, you know, and he used to preach good and everything. And I used to say, why do you need a Bible college? But as the time goes, we knew there will be a time when people will be asking, did you study Bible? You know, there is a, here also you cannot go preach anywhere if you don't have a Bible seminary background. You know, it is really bad. But because this is the school, you know, this is the teacher, this is everything. You sit, you meditate on it, and you get insight. You learn stuff here. And my grandfather never went to Bible college. He was a Bible scholar. I could ask him anything, and I don't know where he studied it from. And so whatever I had the knowledge, it all came from him. And I never wanted to change. When he died, I prayed, Lord, please, can you give his mind, his brain to me? I really prayed. You know, it is amazing. I really prayed because I wanted all his knowledge, what he had. But, you know, but when I was young, me and he did a bargain. He said, I will give you million of rupees, that's what he said, million rupees, or I will give you that almirah and all the books in there. He gave me a choice. I was only 11 years old. I looked at him and said, you know what, $1 million, that will finish soon. I think I want the almirah and the books. And you know, but what happened was, I did not get, because we were gone to different parts of the country. People who come to see him, they will borrow one book, and never came back. So when he died, there was hardly any book in Dharmara. So anyway, whatever the insight I had was from his teaching. And when I look back, I think that is my ground, solid ground. That is my rock where I can stand. Of course, Jesus is my rock, but that is the faith. You know, because of that, when we saw him in the full-time ministry, and we started, when he goes to these mission fields, I used to travel with him sometime. And when I go there, people will be asking, because then I'm working in a hospital, they will be asking, I'm having this pain, I'm having that pain, my child has got diarrhea, my, you know, he said, can you give me some medicine? And they don't know I cannot give them medicine. I'm working in the hospital, but I only know I cannot give them prescribed medicines. What I did is, I start getting, you know, keeping money aside, and then I go buy some medicine. Because I, since I was working in a small hospital, you know, we used to go here, there, help. We go into the pharmacy and help, we used, you know, do everything. So I knew all the medications, what they do, how they do things. So I started buying medicines for these ladies, and I used to give them whenever they asked me medicine. But then I thought, Lord, if I have a chance, and it's, you know, things are very complicated. When I was a small girl, I saw a picture of a lady in a newspaper saying that she went to America to study medicine, nursing, you know. And her picture was there, and everything. I thought, I wish I could go study there, you know, in the, at that time. Then it all went off from my mind. But then this lady comes and asks me about medicine and everything. So when Sam came to States, he came alone, and all of a sudden he had to come back home because there was some missionaries supposed to go home, and they couldn't go because of the political problems. So they called Sam and asked, we got free ticket for you, want to go? Then he said, I'm having my exams and everything, I cannot go. And then if you know Dr. Long from Reform Seminary, he said, Sam, I would let you take the exam early and go, but if you bring Jesse with you. Yeah.
I don't know if they caught all that. Sam was given a scholarship by the Reformed Theological Seminary outside of Clinton, and so he traveled from India and went to school.
Yeah, went to school here.
But he and Jesse were married at the time, but he had to leave her in India.
Yeah.
So the chance came and a ticket was available that was free, and they wanted Sam to travel back to India. The professor let him take his exam earlier on the condition that when he returned, he would bring his wife back with him.
Sorry. And anyway, so that happened in no time, without even thinking. In about, you know, 15 days, I was here. You know, I resigned my job and I just came here. And when I came here, I went to Sam with this in the seminary for the next 2.5-3 years. And I studied with him the Hebrew, the Greek, I did the anthropology, I did everything with him. I did all the exams with him, and I passed all the exams, but I don't get the degree because I am a wife, and wife is allowed to audit. Unless you pay the money, you cannot get the degree. I said, I don't want the degree. The knowledge is better for me. You know, that is good enough. I don't need a degree, I don't need nothing, but at least I am able to go sit with him and study. That was the big key thing. But deep in my mind, I was thinking about these ladies who used to ask me medicine. So I decided in my mind, I want to go for nursing. And it kind of nagged me all the time. All the time means all the time. In the sleep, in the every time. So me and Sam, the holidays, we were traveling. We took an Amtrak trip from Brookhaven to New York, to Chicago, to California, back to Brookhaven. That was a good trip. Anyway, what happened was, while we were traveling, we went to a place in Chicago. And that was my daddy's bosom buddy's sister. And they are doctors there. And my prayer was, just like Elias, you know, he is mine. Elias asked, you know, the ladies asked him, can we give you water? You know, we will draw the water for your donkeys also, you know. I said, this is what I want you to do. If you really want me to go for nursing, somebody should tell me, because now we are living completely by faith. We don't have any salary coming. We are completely faith people. And so I said, somebody should ask me, Jesse, why don't you go for nursing? I will support you the first semester. This is all I asked Then I said, Lord, I will know this is from you. And we were traveling, out of the blue, the lady in the house asked me, why don't you go for nursing? We will pay your first semester fees. Will that ever happen to anybody like that? And I just froze to there. I just froze because this is what I asked. And Sam does not know I was asking this to the Lord. So when she told me that, I went upstairs with the coffee for him and I said, you know, something eerie happened to me today. I don't know whether it is real, other, you know. I said, I have been praying for this for so long. And she asked me if I want to go for nursing, we will pay your first semester's fee. And he said, what did you say? I said, I didn't say anything. And you're going to say something? I said, no, I'm not going to say anything either. And see, then after that we didn't talk anything. The next day when we were leaving, when we were about to leave, she gave me an envelope. You know, I didn't say anything to her anymore. She gave me an envelope. On the way I opened it and there was some money. I did not know how much it's going to cost me. And I knew why she gave that money. And I didn't have my certificates because I didn't come to work. And I didn't think about studying. All of a sudden these things came because I had to leave the country all of a sudden. Anyway, I went to the school and I asked them, I need admission because I had to get all the A and B and everything done before I go to nursing here. Anatomy physiology. So I went to the school and I asked them, can I get an admission for nursing? You know, it is so amazing. They didn't ask my certificate. I was a different, you know, from a different country. They didn't ask me nothing. They didn't ask my TOEFL test. They didn't ask me no certificate, no grade list, nothing. They said, okay, we'll give you admission. And they gave me admission. You know. But the thing was happened was after about 2.5 years, 1.5 it took me along because I had to take more classes because I had never studied here. So I had to take more classes than a student who studied here. So when I finished studies, I realized I'm not going to be able to finish my nursing because Sam was about to go back to India in about 2 years. And I knew I cannot do it because I will be needing another 2.5 years to finish nursing. So what I did, I switched my, since I started going in, I want to complete something. You know, and when the first semester came, the money was just enough for me for my first semester fees and the books, the envelope she gave me. And from there, my faith travel started. And it was amazing how God led me from there. And there are times I needed only $11.07 to come get a book. It means I got $60-$70, but get the book, maybe $80-something. But God gave me, put an envelope in Sam's box saying, this is for Jesse. And it was, I still remember $11.20. I never told anybody how much. I never did anything. But that was there. And then I went to surgical technology. I switched completely. I knew God wanted me to do something. I did not know what it is. He provided me fun. You know, it is like, He just gave me what I need that month, that semester. I did not know how it happened. And it didn't come from Sam. It did not come from anybody. But people whom I did not know. That is amazing thing. And then I went to, see, God had plans, other plans. But He wanted me to get these things done and get out. And I started doing surgical technology. I thought it is 1 year course, but you know, and I can finish it before Sam leaves to India. So we can go home. Well, I finished my surgical technology. I aced it. I had all 4-point average. Guess what? William Carey started raising, you know, trying to find children, students, and William Carey gave me a scholarship. They said, we want you to come study with in our school, we will give you a scholarship.
It's that time.
Yeah. And anyway, 3 times they called, all 2 times I said no, because we are going to go, because we packed and sent our stuff to India already to go. I said, then the 3rd time Sam said, don't say no, just say, we will come and see. So next day, me and Sam goes to William Carey, Hattiesburg, and put the application, got the admission. And then I finished all the prerequisites for the BSc nursing. You see, God didn't want me to stay with just a registered RN, but He wanted me to go up. And in a school I can never even dream of, you know, when I went to the school says, we cannot give you scholarship, you are not an American. And what can I do? Sam already left, and I don't have the money. And so Sam said, if you don't have the money, what you do? Sell everything, then just come home. So I talked to the counselor and everything. Anyway, I bargained with them. They said, okay, we will give you an ACT scholarship because I had a good grade for that. And then they said, we will give you academic scholarship. Okay, that is good enough. Then they said, I said, that is not enough for me. Then they said, we will give you this scholarship, that scholarship. And at last they said, we will give you ministerial scholarship and Baptist scholarship because you are a Baptist. Anyway, then about $264 left. You see, one by one they gave me that much. And I told them, see, you did not know I was an American, but because I was a good student, you gave me the scholarship. Now I need that scholarship to prove that I'm really a good student. You know. Anyway, this church from Alabama and calls the school and said, we know Jesse is studying, enrolled in your school. Tell us how much he have to give, you know, the part of full fees. They said this much money is needed for her. And what they did, this church directly sent that money to the college. And then I had to take some summer school where I needed about $3,000 because summer school, no scholarship. But unless I take that summer school, I cannot go into my final semester. So I wrote a list on the table. You know, some people say don't pray for money. I did pray for money that time for the first time. I did pray. I wrote a list and it was about $3,000 fees, my rent, my electrical bill. I didn't have cable, so I didn't have to worry about it. My telephone bill, because I had to call Sam every now and then. And it was about $3,600 altogether. And then I said, Lord, if you want me to tithe, because that's a habit of mine to tithe. If you want me to tithe, you need to add that money with that. Guess what? In 3 days, my old pastor's wife from Jackson calls me and said, Jesse, somebody sent some money for you here, and somebody's going to Gulfport. Can we send the money through them? I said, good, go ahead. Guess what? When that money came, it was $3,600 plus the tithe. You see, that is when you call upon the Lord and He will answer. And when you completely trust Him, He will not forsake you. You know, He is with you at all times. And when I look back, I cannot imagine the amazing things He has done in my life, my spiritual life, and my physical life, my, you know, all things. And we are very grateful because we enjoy the church here. When we came to Brookhaven, we did not know where to go, so we went around all the churches. But when we came here, for some reason, Sam wanted to, we just wanted to go here, you know. It was like a homely church. It was like, you know, of course we don't know everybody still now, after this many years. And, you know, many of you haven't even seen me so far. So it is, but still we felt at home, you know, we were like worshipping here. And Sam went home. You know, he's doing the mission work in India. He goes 6 months to any, you know, the airlines won't give you ticket more than 4 months or 6 months. And the green card won't let you, before it won't let you more than 6 months. Now they will allow you up to 1 year, but you cannot get a ticket for more than six months. And this time he went home and he did 3 trips to the mission fields, all 3 rounds. We had 3 stations. And so far, now he's in the train. Right now he's in the train doing sleeping. And you know, and just before I came, I called him. And I said, you know what, I'm having goosebumps in my stomach. I don't know if I want to go and talk to them. He said, just go, those ladies, you're seeing them every day. Why don't you say your testimony? You've been always jumping up to say your testimony. I said, but here, after I came here, you know, we hardly say testimony anywhere, you know. So he said, don't worry about it, just go. What time is it? I said, the Sunday school time. I said, okay, go. And the telephone cut off because the signal was traveling. So far, they had about 30 baptisms in about 4 different times. It's all together. And then last 3 days, means Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or anyway, last 3 days, they had a seminar. He brought all the preachers from all different places, 3 places, to 1 place. And he had the seminar 3 days, morning Bible study, afternoon seminar, and then evening the gospel meeting, evangelistic meeting. For evangelistic meeting, he had preachers from outside who can speak their own language. So they may be able to reach these people. He said the house was full, and that will be about 2/3 of this space. You know, and the house was full, and I would like you all to pray for them. And I used to help certain people, you know, children and orphan children and the girls who are studying. But now I'm not able to do it because I'm not working. But I try to say whatever I can and I help them. And then there is a widow who needs a house. And her house was destroyed due to thunderstorm. And what happened was she used to stay in our house with my mommy when mommy was living. But after mommy's death, she didn't want to stay in our house, you know. But she goes to her brother's house and stay. But she got all the floors and done. And my daddy had a house that was not nobody was staying. And when I cut down the trees to help Sam with the Sam finance, and so this tree fell on that house. And what I did is, instead of selling that in the second-hand market, I gave that house all to her. I said, you come get all the windows, all the doors, and all the bricks. But now she needs money to construct it. And so I am praying for so many different things now, because I don't know. I was praying yesterday. I said, Lord, there are so many things in front of me. I don't know which one to pray for. You know, because the needs are so many in the mission field. When the school time comes, the children need education money. And just now one of our preacher's wife is going to the hospital today to have the baby. And he is not getting more than $70 a month or $80 a month. How can they do that? So we have to help them with that. You know, things like that. If they go to hospital and for the children's education and all, we have to do whatever we can. So that is what my testimony today. And so much to say because, you know, there are so many things, you know. But putting everything in a nutshell, that is it. And if you have anything to know, if you want to know anything, any questions? And thank you so much for this opportunity. I hope you all understood what I thought.
We better go, I think.
I took a long time.
Okay.
Oh.